God loves you. Do you know that? Okay, how do you know God loves you? Good answers. His son died for us. But you have to have a personal relationship with God. And that means you need to talk to God. You know, it's true that he knows everything that's in your heart and he knows everything about you. But God wants a conversation with you. He wants you to treat him for who he is, the closeness of that relationship. And the things in our lives, the things that happen to us, the things that we do, we need to be in communication with God. And the way to do that is through prayer. Prayer should be the most important thing in your life. I know that sounds like a bold statement, but the scriptures back me up on it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples come to Jesus with an interesting request. It says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" You know, I find this very interesting. This is what the disciples asked to be taught. They didn't ask to be taught to preach or to heal. They didn't ask to lead a committee meeting or be better leaders. They didn't ask how to build an evangelistic church. And the most important question they didn't ask on how we get more people to volunteer for VBS. They asked to learn to pray. You know, Jesus taught many of these things. But the request was, how do we pray? You see, the disciples, they were making some kind of connection now in their life, in their service to Jesus. It began to click, began to dawn on them. In John chapter 5, verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" It's quite a statement coming from Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He's saying, I don't do anything on my own. I look at the Father. I look at God himself and see what he's doing. He's the one that enables me to accomplish what I accomplish. He's the one that's always working. He's always in the background of Jesus' life. And Jesus looks to him and says, "What now, Father? What do I do next?" And if that was good enough for Jesus, why isn't it good enough for us to say, "Father, what do you have for me next?" We can't know what God has for us unless we're in prayer, unless we're in that conversation. Jesus was without sin, and he thought it important enough to consult the Father. And here we are, sinful people. No one here can say that there's no sin in their life, or we call Jesus a liar. So shouldn't all the more for us, we be reaching out to the Father and asking, "What is next, Father?" You see, they made a connection. The disciples connected prayer and peace. They made the connection between prayer and the power of Jesus Christ, and the power that they could have, the power we could have. And they made a connection between power and positive results. And isn't that what we want? A positive life. We want things to go the way they should go and not fall into these traps. They said, "Lord, we want to get in on this. We want you to teach us prayer, how we can reach out to God and understand." You see, Jesus began his public ministry with a vigil of prayer. Luke 3, 23 and 22, it says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" wasn't the first time Jesus prayed, but he launched his public ministry in this way. He chose prayer, and Jesus moved on from there, and of course went into the 40 days of tempting in the wilderness. He fasted and prayed. And this is the pattern the disciples wanted to know. If you remember right last week, well, I guess it was in my Bible study on Sunday night, that God takes delight in us. He is overjoyed in us as his people. I believe one of the scriptures said he sings with joy. So how does that make you feel, knowing that you serve a God that loves you and takes joy in your existence and cares so much that you make him happy? You see, we can go all through the Gospels and we can find examples of Jesus praying. Jesus prays first, and then he acts on God's leading. And that's the way it should be for us. We need to understand this. Whenever and wherever people are being saved and God is working, it's because there are people praying and leading the way. Let's look at Acts 1:13. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is powerful stuff. The result of this prayer was prophecy being fulfilled. It was the birth of the church, and it was the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Pentecost. We're talking about Acts chapter 2, where an uneducated fisherman stood up and preached such a bold and powerful message. As the scriptures tell us, 3,000 were saved that day. Pretty powerful for an uneducated man. Pretty powerful for someone that listened, learned to pray, and followed Jesus Christ. The disciples weren't just sitting in the open room, on this upper room, eating pizza and socializing. They were praying. It's not enough just to sit together. We've got to be active in prayer and supplication. They weren't just hanging out to see what would happen next. There was an action going on. They were praying. The disciples' lives were transformed that day. They were never going to ever be the same. The disciples saw the connection between prayer and Jesus' ministry. In that moment when the light comes on, I like to think that was the moment for the disciples. I would like to think that would be the moment for us here today, that we make the connection that the disciples made. The same Holy Father that enabled those disciples is the same Holy Father that will enable us to accomplish his will here on earth. See, God relates his work to his people through their prayers. How else can we know what he wants us to do? Now, the early disciples learned the importance of prayer. I want to ask you, where does it rank in your life? Is prayer the most important thing to you? Or is prayer something that you do when you have time? I know that we're busy people, and most of these excuses could be mine, except for the first one. I have a full-time job, not so much anymore. I have full-time work. My days are long. Your days are long. You have to get up in the mornings or the afternoons and go punch a time clock or check in to work. You're busy people. I understand that. Then after work, when you get home, there's housework. There's a lawn that needs mowed. There's meals to fix, there's dishes to do. Oh man, if you have kids, okay, we have a whole nother agenda there. You've got to run the kids to their sports practices and homework. If
they're small, there's diapers, there's cleaning, all the things that come with the kids. Then there's the shopping. That eats up time. And then what about your favorite TV show? That comes on at 7 or 8 o'clock. Well, now you got to watch your favorite TV show or sports. Maybe the game's starting. So you got to push everything else aside to watch your team. Then before you know it, it's 9 o'clock. It's 9:30. Well, man, long day. That's my time just to chill out. I'm going to sit and veg, as they say. I just got to relax. Then it's time for bed. Where was Jesus? Where was your prayer? You know, God has to understand that we have more demands on our time than the disciples did. We have more things in demanding our attention, demanding our time. God just has to understand that. Well, you know what? God does understand. And He knows what you place ahead of Him. And if you think your day's busy, let's look at a day of Jesus Christ. Mark 1:21 through 39. This is a busy man. Then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Notice that? Even the demons know who Jesus Christ is. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed. So what they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Even the demons have to obey Jesus Christ. And immediately his fame spread out through all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now Jesus had a busy day. He started out preaching in the synagogue, casting out demons. Next headed over to Simon's mother-in-law. Healed her of a fever, and then notice she went right ahead and fixed him a meal after he healed her. What a woman. In the evening after the sun had set, the whole city had lined up outside the door with demands on Jesus' time. Cast out demons. He healed people. They had a busy day. The next day, Jesus got up before the sunrise and went out to be alone. He went to a solitary place. And what did he do? He prayed. He contacted the Father. Simon and the others went looking for him, and they said, "It's time to pick up where you left off last attention and your time. But you see, God had Jesus had connected with God in that prayer. He spent that time in the morning before he started his day in prayer. Jesus was go into the next towns and cast out demons. You see, if Jesus hadn't taken the time to pray, he would have missed out on God's direction. If he hadn't prayed and got his new marching orders from God, he might have went right back to where he was and picked up where he left off. But God had better things. God sent him on to other towns, and Jesus knew what he was supposed to do because he spent that time in prayer. Look at our own busy lives and our busyness. How many times have we failed to connect with God and continued on with what we were doing? Just picked up from the day before, but just maybe God had something very special for you that day. You failed to connect with him. You failed to ask God to seek him out. And you missed a blessing. You couldn't hear him speaking. How do you expect your lives to be transformed if you don't spend time in prayer, if you don't spend a lot of time listening to God telling you what he wants you to do? If we don't have time to pray every day, I'm telling you today it's time to examine the priorities in your life. Because I'm telling you, you've got it wrong. And something has to change. If we don't get that rhythm, that habit, as some people may call it, of including God in our day, get in that rhythm of prayer, we're going to miss out on God's instruction. We're going to miss out on God's blessings, his direction. We'll fall into that trap with negotiating with God out of desperation when something bad happens in our life. And you know what I mean. When we don't really have a relationship with God, we try to manipulate him through prayer. Yeah, God, I know I haven't spoken with you in a while, but here's what's going on in my life, and here's what I think you need to do about it. Or we don't negotiate with God. We converse with God, and God will tell us. Prayer has to become the natural rhythm of your life and not just a way of getting out of tough times. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you're in right now, a situation that's disrupting your whole family and makes you so you can't sleep at night. Out of desperation, you turn to God. You say, God, I'm going to turn this situation over to you. And then it's, oh yeah, God, this is what I really want to see the outcome to be. Well, you went too far. When you turn the things over to God, you turn that situation over, that's where it ends. You allow God to tell you the way out. What you have to do. Just think if you had a relationship with God that Jesus had, a relationship that's built on prayer. If you have that relationship, whatever problem you're facing now, maybe, just maybe, you would have saw that problem coming. Maybe God would have guided you away from that situation altogether. Or maybe God would have equipped you to meet what was coming on, to better able to bring you through it because you were prepared, because God had prepared you, because you had a relationship built up with him through prayer. In those times, instead of worry and stress, you'll go through it with strength and blessings. You see, God doesn't want you to wade waist deep into a swamp full of alligators before you turn to him and ask him how to drain the swamp. God wants to be involved in your life and steer you away from that
swamp in the first place. So today, let's take a stand to be people of prayer. I want you to take this serious. Approach prayer with the right attitude. Be real. I want to tell you right now, you can't fool God. Don't try to impress God. Don't pray what you think God wants to hear, and don't pray with big flowery words if that's not who you are. God sees right through that. He already knows your heart. He already knows who you are inside and out and what situations you face. You're not going to fool him. Just speak to him straight on and tell him what's in your heart in plain words. God will do the rest if you allow him. Be relaxed. Go someplace where you can be alone. Someplace where you can just breathe and listen. Now, I'm not saying don't ever pray in a group. We know it's not true. You should. But you should also have some alone time with God. You need to be quiet. You need to just get away from the stress of this life. Give God time. Concentrate on him. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be hard at first. Because the world's right there banging on your brain all the time. Here's your problems. Here it is. Here's what's coming. But take a deep breath. It'll get easier. You'll be able to clear out the distractions and wait for God. Be revealing. When you talk to God, talk. Talk to him like he's your friend, because he is. Talk to him like he's your father, because he is. Talk to him like he's your counselor, because he is. And talk to him like he's your savior, because he is. God isn't this overbearing judge just waiting to pounce on you every time you make a mistake. Because God is all these things. He's your friend. He's your father. He's your shoulder to cry on. He's the hand to grab for your strength. And he is your savior. And that's what prayer is like with the Lord. It's a conversation between two people who love each other. We talk to him because we have a love relationship with him. Well, that's the way it should be. I have a quote for you. This is from Samuel Chadwick. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Now, why would that be? Why would Satan laugh at prayerless Christians and yet tremble when Christians choose to pray? The answer is easy. If you don't pray, if you're not in conversation with God, you're going to stumble through this life making your own decisions, walking into your own traps, and letting the world control your life. But if you're a Christian that prays, you're going to be directed by God. You're going to have all the weapons you need to fight the forces of Satan. You'll be freed up for that loving relationship. And when you're freed up for a loving relationship with God, that enables you to have a loving relationship with everyone around you. We sang a song this morning about circle of friends. Well, hopefully this is a circle of friends in here. We sang this morning about the family of God, and this is the family of God. These relationships, this family of God is built on one thing, and that's the love of Jesus Christ. And that comes from our ability to seek him out. You see, wherever and whenever people were praying, People are being saved. Lives are transformed. We're growing stronger. We're a danger to Satan. I believe that nothing happens without prayer. So I want to tell you, today is the day to take a stand. So let's all stand up. Bow your heads for just a moment and close your eyes. My message is on prayer. There's no other way to reach out. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, today is the day to take a stand. Today is the day to come forward. I would love to tell you about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If not me, grab one of the other deacons' hands. They'd love to do it too. See, that's a gift more precious than anything. It's a gift of life itself. Maybe you're a Christian. You come here today with a burden. And if you did, today's the day to take a stand. Leave your burden at the altar. You see, God's stronger than you are. If you had a relationship with prayer, you know that. Maybe you're facing family problems, money problems, marital problems. Maybe you know someone that doesn't have Jesus in your life, and that's a concern. It's time for prayer. Is your relationship with God where it ought to be? Do you know what God's will is for your life? Are you serving God, or are you just attending church? These are all questions you need to ask yourself. See, today is the day you need to take a stand. Do you want a spirit-filled life, strengthened and led by God? Should your prayer be the most important thing in your life? Yes, it should be. If you are in daily prayer, God will be leading you, and everything else will fall into place. And I truly believe that, just to the deepest point in my soul. If you connect with God, if you're praying daily and you're listening, obeying Him, I'm not promising you won't face hard times, because you will. Because life comes at us. But I am promising that God will bring you through it. God will steer you around those problems that you make for yourself. You see, God loves you, and He wants to strengthen you, and He wants to give you all that you need. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this message on prayer. Father, you pierced my heart this week. I just pray, Father, that this message was received and in a manner that's pleasing to you, Father, that everyone here will contemplate on this. They will think about it, Father, and they will draw closer to you. Father, I ask for your strength for everyone here, your blessings to be pouring out upon their lives and their families. I pray for those that couldn't be here today, Father, that you will be with them, and you will keep them safe in their travels, and you will bless them also. Father, I thank you for this circle of friends, this family of God, and I just ask that you will continue to lead us into unity, and you will continue to reveal to us the will you have for this group. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.